This is Long Shots. Here's Wes Reynolds.
Welcome to Long Shots Around the World Edition. Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds here. Wes, how you doing, my friend? Good to talk to you as always.
I am well, Kelly. Good to be with you.
Yeah, man. Both of us coming off a PGA Tour win this week. PGA Tour a little split this week. Half in the U.S. and half over in Scotland. So we will have our Scottish Open preview coming out Wednesday morning. Make sure to catch that with Matt Brown, Wes, and myself. And we're going to do two tournaments really quick. A little two-for-one action here on Around the World. We will hit the ISCO Championship, formerly known as the Barbasol, which will be played in Kentucky this week. That is a PGA Tour. This is a PGA Tour and DP World Tour split event, right? They do this with both of them, right, Wes?
Yes.
Both the Scottish Open. So both the Scottish Open you'll see this week and the ISCO Championship, even though it's being played in the States, they are both split PGA Tour and DP World Tour events. We're going to start with that, and then we will hit LIV after we take a break. So hang around if you are looking for LIV bets. ISCO Championship. I see one Seminole at the top of the odds board. Luke Clayton, give me some Clayton, 9-1 at the top of the odds board. We got Michael Thorbjornsson then 12-1, Chan Kim 25-1, Mac Meisner 28-1, Ben Silverman 28-1, everybody else 30-1 or longer. Shout out to Michael Kim real quick for tweeting out injury information on himself today, because I think he was what, fourth or fifth on the odds board, and has dropped to 35-1. I'm noticing now, so. You know what? Big ups to you, Michael Kim. We appreciate that, since we don't really get an injury report of any kind with golfers, that we just get to speculate on podcasts like this about whether they're actually injured. Michael Kim actually did tweet about him not being 100% this week. So go check that out. He is one of the most active guys on the PGA Tour on Twitter. Tweets out great information on courses, everything. Actually, kind of, I would say, a must follow if you're not following him already as a golf better. So we start there with the ISCO Championship. I was planning on digging into this, Wes, making some bets. Didn't end up, it just ended up staying in Scotland this week. I will say that there is a chance I go back to Daniel Berger this week, 40-1 in a crappier field that we're getting this week. 40-1s where we've kind of seen him hovering it. We've seen him hovering at that range the past few tournaments he's played in. And we talked about him. Was it last week? Yeah, last week I bet him. He missed the cut. But, you know, it was such a birdie fest last week. He still was under par. It's kind of hard to take too much away from a tournament like that. So basically getting the same odds in a tournament that has even a worse field, I think that's going to be my only play this week. Don't want to miss out on Berger before he kind of really finds his full form. His numbers are starting to look better. Just struggling on the greens a bit right now. So it is... I'm expecting Berger to bounce back here at some point. I think 40-1 in a field like this is a good play. So that will probably be my one and only bet for the week. How do you feel about an amateur being in single digits for a PGA Tour event?
Your Florida State Seminole, Luke Clayton, who, by the way, tied for runner-up there at the John Deere Classic with another guy that was an amateur that just turned pro. That's Michael Thorbjornsson, who is right behind him. I'm seeing now as low as 14-1. So, yeah, two guys.
DraftKings.
Yeah, wow. And two guys that are very talented. I did not bet either of those guys this week. You know, kind of very hard, I think, to really do that at one of these birdie fests.
Yeah, and Wes, we'll start right there before we even get to what you played. Just the idea of those two sitting at the top of the odds board. I'm not saying that they're not the two most talented guys in this field. Maybe they are. But man, you're talking about real, odds are being posted off of real small sample sizes with these guys, right? I think that's the best way to say it. Because it doesn't mean that these guys aren't this talented, but it's odds based off of a small sample size so far on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. And then does everybody expect their games to translate over? Hell yes. I think all of us do. I think we do expect them to be good players. But I think this is a good opportunity to look further down the board with a lot of pressure on two young guys by the odds makers to come out and win. And if you don't bet either one of those two, you're starting at 25-1 on this odds board, which is kind of nice. Tell us a little bit about the tournament course and then what you ended up betting this week, Wes.
Yeah, it is the champion course at Keene Trace in Nicholasville, Kentucky, which is kind of right equidistant from Cincinnati and Louisville. It used to be the Barbasol Championship, now the ISCO Championship. Par 72, 73, 28. Relatively easy course here when you look at the winning scores. I'll go back all the way to 2018, 23 under, 26 under, 21 under, 25 under, 22 under, where I actually did get the winner here last year with Vincent Norman in a playoff. Norman, by the way, playing the Scottish Open this week. So a bent grass pretty much throughout. Large greens, about 6,000 square feet, 11 on the stint meter. So these are a little bit slower. They're kind of like very medium speed, so they're not super fast, not super slow. So it's going to be hot and humid. This is going to roll a little bit. So I think, you know, some distance off the tee definitely certainly helps down here in Kentucky.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. So run through what you ended up betting, my friend.
Yeah, I had five here. I just took shots, some shots here. JJ Spahn.
Some shots.
JJ Spahn, 33-1, who was top 10 a couple weeks ago in Detroit, T23 last weekend at the Deer, but he was in the top 10 heading into Sunday, just shot a couple over, and that's going to drop you down the board at the John Deere Classic. Man. Ninth in this field on approach. So JJ Spahn, kind of one of those veteran guys. He's won on the PGA Tour before, you know, trying to pick up some FedEx Cup points. There's a reason why he is playing this week and not taking that week off. So JJ Spahn, 33-1.
Feels like it's been I just wanted to start with Spahn because Wes, I haven't really checked much in on JJ Spahn and what he's been doing, but oh boy, it doesn't feel like we've seen his name outside of the last couple weeks, we haven't seen his name pop on leaderboards or in models or stuff like that much at all in the past year, it feels like.
Yeah, because remember, he won the Valero last year and, you know, finally got that win, but maybe this is a place where he can kind of get on track. We've seen some veteran guys win here before, like Troy Merritt, Jim Herman, and those guys. So maybe it'll be Spahn this week. Rico Hoey, 40-1. Sixth in Detroit, 26th at the Deer last week. Fifth off the tee, sixth for opportunities gain, ninth for birdie or better, 18th for approach. So Rico Hoey, the man originally born in the Philippines, I think could go well here. And he's been playing some solid golf, as has Patrick Fishburne at about 55-1. Five top 25s in his last seven starts, seventh in this field, strokes gained off the tee. Pearson Cootie at 60-1 has made eight of his last nine cuts. Third in this field for strokes gained putting over the last 36 rounds, both the Cooties, he and Parker Cootie, of course, who played down there at Texas, have been, you know, younger guys trying to find their way. And look, we found one with Davis Thompson last week. So some pedigree here. And then one guy plays over from the DP World Tour that I bet a little bit. He hasn't gotten there for a win lately, but Johannes Veerman, who is actually an American player, but plays primarily over in Europe. 75-1, four top tens in his last eight starts on the DP World Tour.
Did you bet Patton Kizzire last week with me?
I did, and he didn't make.
Did he pop at all for you this week? Because were we excited about him last week, and then it was pretty
yeah,
stinker.
And man, I wonder why. And now that you bring that up, I'm like, okay, is this the week where he's gonna really play well? Because he is.
I just scrolled down the board, and he's 70-1 in this crappy field. Like, that's a big number.
And he's an Auburn guy, so you know, a guy that's played these courses. Because you'll get a lot of these SEC guys that have played these courses down in the Southeast. So. Yeah, now that you point that out, Hayden Buckley is another guy, a kid from Mississippi. He's getting some buzz. I almost played him at about 66-1. So, yeah, you're seeing.
I got two. I'm going Berger and Kizzire. Then those are my two.
Okay. No, I don't disagree with it. So yeah, this is so wide open. You know, you've had a lot of price variance in terms of we only have 5 years of tournaments here at this course.
Is that all it's been?
Yeah, wow. It is, because so you've had shorter shots like Seamus Power won here at 16-1 back in 2021, and I had Vincent Norman at about 28-1 last year. But you've also had Trey Mullinax won here at 150-1 in 2022. Jim Herman at 500-1 in 2019. Jim Herman, man, the Hermanator.
Yeah, shout out to Jim Herman, man.
He's gotten the most out of that. He's gotten the most out of his career, man. Troy Merritt won the first one here at 55-1. So, yeah, mid-range or long bombs. That's why I really couldn't go with Clanton or Chore Bornson. I'm like, man, you know, you're still playing against grown men out here. Yeah, these dudes are grinding to keep their PGA Tour cards, for God's sakes.
Yeah, you're playing with the big boys now. They may not be named Tiger Woods and everything, but these guys have been out here doing it for years. Yeah, and you're coming in, Clanton, as much as I like you, buddy, you're coming in as a 9-1 shot with a bunch of people ready to take that cash right out of your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. Other side, we'll hit Liv. I want to talk a little bit about Keegan Bradley with Wes, too. Maybe get into that, my boy Keegs. All right, stick around. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Long Shots Around the World Edition. Wes, we didn't really get a chance to talk about this. Me and you have talked a couple times today already, but we didn't talk about the Ryder Cup decision to make for Keegan Bradley to be named captain. My boy Keegan. Right. Love it, man. I love it. I think that I want to get your thoughts on it, but I've talked to a couple people about this. I think I've been lucky enough to spend some time around Keegan, interview him a couple times. If you haven't caught this already, and if you follow golf, you probably have. But the one thing I can always say about Keegan Bradley is the couple times that I talked, a few times I've been able to talk to him, that dude loves sports. He is a Northeast guy. Obviously, we're going to Bethpage Blacks. It's going to be played in New York. St. John's grad. But this guy would love to talk to you about football, baseball before he ever even gets to golf. So I think when you're building a Ryder Cup team, a guy like that makes a whole lot of sense, who might play an individual sport, but thinks like a team sport guy. And he loves the competition. We've seen that over the years. I think this is a really interesting move to name him captain. I mean, look, we've got over a year to figure out whether he's going to be playing or not. Did watch his press conference today, and a couple of interviews he did today. I guess it sounds like the Ryder Cup committee or whatever they call it does intend for him to play, but he's even right. Putting the pause on that, or if he's saying let's give it a year and see where I'm at, sort of thing. So. Yeah. I think anybody who's listening to these podcasts knows I love Keegan Bradley, but I think it's a bold decision and I love it though.
Yeah, I kind of did too. It did catch, I think, him off guard. Apparently he said, hey, I didn't interview for this. I wasn't a candidate. So there were a couple people that were. I think Stuart Sink was pretty disappointed that thought he might be the Ryder Cup captain. And then there were people thinking, okay, it's back in America. The Americans just got their butts kicked over in Rome to the Europeans. So maybe it's Tiger time, and Tiger didn't commit to it. So, and I think eventually he will be because, a few years ago, Kelly, if you and I were having this discussion, we probably thought Phil Mickelson would have been the captain here.
Absolutely.
This time around. Yeah. Before everything happened, it would have been maybe Mickelson against Poulter, like for the Europeans or something like that, which would have been a little spicy, but we do get Keegan Bradley, Luke Donald, by the way, back for another go around after his successful run, captaining Team Europe in Rome last time out. So
don't want to change that one.
No, he pushed all the right buttons. But And I found it interesting that it was Zach Johnson that called Keegan Bradley and say, hey, dude, you're the Ryder Cup captain, because Zach was the captain.
Oh, I did not catch that detail. That is interesting.
Zach was the captain last time, and Keegan Bradley, probably was the last guy left off the team. Sure. So. Yeah, exactly. So look, Keegan Bradley could be a player, but he's like, I'm not going to do captain's pick. I want to make it on points, And he also made an interesting comment. He goes, I want the best 12 guys. He goes, I don't care about this live stuff right now. Yep. So obviously that's referring to Bryson and Brooks Koepka and, those guys, hell, maybe even a Taylor Gooch or somebody like that, but especially Bryson and Koepka as the two main American headliners to be on that team. So we're going to see how this is going to play out. But, I think it's a cool decision. He had all his St. John's University golf team there at the press conference. He's a sports fanatic. He's a New England guy, even though this is being played up in upstate New York at Bethpage Black. But it seems like a lot of the players that have been asked about it, both on the PGA Tour and on LIV, are like, yeah, good choice. I would definitely like to see that. Now, he has to bring back his old caddy, though, to be like an assistant captain so he can get it with all the European players. Remember, his old caddy, Pepsi, got into it with Miguel Angel Jimenez one time. It was great. I was like, you need somebody to antagonize these European guys.
That's actually one of those moments in golf history that if you haven't seen it, it is worth Googling and rewatching on YouTube, like for like 100%. And like, I don't really know how many times I've done that. I've done that with that one a couple times, Wes.
And of all the people, Miguel Angel Jimenez, who like seems like the most chill dude ever.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
To get into him.
So yeah, we got Keegan getting that fighting spirit sometimes. That's what I like about him. So we'll see it. We'll see how it works out. And I hope he's playing and he's playing as a captain. I hope his game stays at that level, that he's at least in this conversation and it doesn't have to be really awkward with like, hey, is he going to like name himself and steal some spot away from someone? Because that would be odd. And I don't think he'd do that. But then it's a little odd if he's out there captaining and not playing. So. All right, hard turn here to the Live Tour that you did just bring up, where Keegan's going to treat everybody fairly, so that's good to hear. Live Golf Andalusia, we go to Spain for this one. What are we looking at, Wes?
Yeah, Valderrama Golf Club, one of the most famous golf courses in the world, has held a lot of events, has held the Ryder Cup, which we just talked about, as a matter of fact. In 1997, that was the first course actually in continental Europe, because it used to be, it was Great Britain and Ireland. Against the USA, and then they opened it up all to Europe in the mid to late 90s. So we're over here in Spain. Of course, a couple Spaniards, John Rahm, seeking his first win on this course at Valderrama, has won several times in his home country of Spain. Not the tournament favorite, though. Bryson DeChambeau's got that role this week. Tyrrell Hatton won the last live event in Nashville a few weeks ago, 11-1. Joaquin Neiman, 8-1, the only two-time winner on live this season. And then Sergio Garcia, 16-1, who's got three wins here, actually, at Valderrama, having won the Andalusia Masters three times on the old European Tour. Taylor Gooch, the defending champion here, he won by one stroke over Bryson DeChambeau and three over Brooks Koepka in the 2023 version of Live Golf Andalusia. And then another guy I got to give a shout to, he's not a total underdog, but a little bit down on the odds board. He's 30-1. How about Richard Bland? Returning to live. Richard Bland has won two senior major championships this year. Won the 2024 rain delayed U.S. Open on Monday up at Newport Country Club a couple weeks ago. So Richard Bland, man, look, he's playing better.
Did you
competition.
Say he's won two? He has won two.
I think he won the senior PGA and now he's won the U.S. Senior Open. So
there we go, Richard Bland.
Yeah, he got a little bit of a hero's welcome in the locker room there over in Spain. And you know, whatever you think of Liv, and I've made my views clear, it is better competition than what the other 50 somethings are playing against. You know, because they're playing mostly on that tour and not playing on the PGA tour, say for maybe a couple weeks here and there. But yeah, Richard Bland has absolutely, you know, and you'll see those guys, Kelly, that maybe win one or two times on the PGA tour, the DP World Tour in their career, where they're kind of journeymen. And then they get out on that Champions Tour, which he's not out there on regularly, of course. And they get out there and they kick ass. Richard Bland, I think all them other guys are glad Richard Bland isn't out on the tour every single week.
Yeah, and you always wonder too. I the Champions Tour is fascinating to me. I was able to cover one of the events down in Boca for years that they did the Allianz. It was called at the time. I believe that's changed. But yeah, it's always fascinated me because you do get. Yeah, sure. You have the rare Bernhard Langer, right? Who's just kind of like solidly great throughout his entire career, right? Like whether he's on the PGA Tour, Champions Tour, whatever.
Right.
But like you do have some guys that you think, okay, maybe they were great middle of their career on the PGA Tour, but slowed down toward the end. And you're kind of rooting for them to get on the Champions Tour. You can see them kind of play competitively again, right? And maybe I'm talking about a Steve Stricker. Maybe that's a good example where he maybe quieted down a little bit more at the end of his PGA Tour career. But then you get the guys, I think, like Richard Bland is probably fair to use as an example, where it's, okay, maybe their younger years is not where their best golf came, you know, and their golf game just took longer to develop. And, you know, the way that they attacked the game and thought about the game changed over the years. And they're kind of hitting, you know, it might not be their peak athleticism when they're hitting the Champions Tour, but it might be near the peak of where their golf game's at. So it is, I think it's very, I think the Champions Tour is fascinating from that standpoint, because you just get guys at all different points where they're at in their golf life.
Yeah, no question about it. So, we're he's in LIV this week at Andalusia, 30-1. So, this course, by the way, you know, really good course too. I always liked this course on the DP World Tour. Par 71, a little over 7,000 yards. Robert Trent Jones design, Bermuda fairways and rough, bent grass on the greens, heavily protected by the bunkers. The fairways are actually kind of narrow here. The rough is not all that deep, but you got these cork trees on the layout. So, you know, you get in those, you got to chop out into the fairway if you get an errant tee shot. So this actually, because I've been critical of some of the LIV courses where it's like they play a little bit too easy. You know, there's just not much personality. There's not much to them. Yeah, that is not the case with Valderrama this week. This is a terrific course. I've always enjoyed when they played a World Golf Championship or DP World Tour events here. So I think that this could be a very interesting event.
Yeah, great course. I mean, look, I think when you talk both tours or all the tours, because we've got the DP World Tour involved too over in Scotland. I think you got a couple great lead up events to the Open coming next week, right? Like these are you're gonna both all these guys are going to be tested the week before a major, and I think sometimes we've brought that up with some of the LIV guys of you know, hey, what are they doing? What have they been doing for the past 3 weeks, or a month? And you're going to get a good look on a tough course before they go and play the Open Championship. So I'm with you. I'll have my eyes on this event a little bit this week for sure. All right. So what made the card for you?
Looking at my card this week, I ended up having four. One that I did play Sergio Garcia at 16-1. It is Mr. Obvious here because he has won three times over his career. Did not make the Open Championship last week. Got put on the clock, complained to the RNA officials for being put on the clock. That's what Sergio does. He's going to complain about something, but he's back to a course that he loves. It's, you know, he calls it his favorite golf course in the world. And I would think he's going to play well this week. So Sergio Garcia, 16-1, Patrick Reed, 25-1, who actually was in contention last week on the DP World Tour at the BMW International Open in Germany before he had a disappointing final round on Sunday, went to T13. He is T5 last year at LIV Valderrama. So Patrick Reed, you know, kind of a shorter course, tighter fairways, can rely on that short game. And that, I think, is right in his wheelhouse. And then kind of an interesting story here. John Catlin at 55-1, who's actually won on this course before, the 2020 Andalusia Masters. He actually is a reserve player on LIV. So he's not under a full contract. He obviously wants to be for that money, but he primarily plays a little bit on the DP World Tour, plays on the Asian Tour. Even though he's an American player from Sacramento, California, finished runner up last week at the Asian Tour International Series in Morocco, plus has two Asian Tour victories this year and was T7 3 weeks ago at LIV Nashville. So this is a guy that's got real incentive, I think, this week. So John Catlin, 55-1. And then I went with the long shot Spaniard. I went with Eugenio Chicara, 130-1, third last week in that same event in Morocco. Remember, he was a standout player at Oklahoma State a couple years ago. And you know, took the money to go to LIV, and he has won once. I think he won back in 2022. I want to say it was in Bangkok, over in Thailand. But you know, kind of a guy. His form's been erratic. He's only a 24-year-old player, Eugenio Chicara, who you know, had a terrific amateur career, had a very good NCAA career, and you know, decided to turn pro. After, you know, he said he was going to have a fifth year because LIV offered him all this money. So one time winner on the Asian Tour, one time winner on the LIV Tour, 130-1, you know, from the area, I could see him playing well.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Makes a lot of sense. Okay, great. We will have Scottish Open preview up for you guys tomorrow morning. Make sure to check that out. Matt Brown back for that one as well. Wes and I will hopefully hit a winner again this week somewhere. We don't really care which continent it's on or anything like that.
They all cash the same, right?
They all cash the same. That's right. As far as you guys out there, good luck with all your bets. We will catch you soon for the Scottish Open preview.